Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Metamusings. I'm your host, Misty Garcia, and tonight we are talking with Sierra Rubin. Metamusings is a podcast to talk about all things metaphysical. So tonight's topic, we are talking about ET consciousness. So I would like to welcome Sierra to the show. Sierra, are you there?
Yeah, hi.
Hi, welcome. Thanks so much for joining me, and I am so excited about our topic tonight. And you, when we had discussed this show, you had mentioned that May 4th would be perfect and said, May the 4th be with you. And I just love that. So it is the perfect day to talk about ET consciousness for sure.
I definitely do love my movie references, so I'm glad that you appreciated it.
Yes, it was perfect. So I kind of just wanted to start a little bit about who you are and what you do. And then we can kind of go from there into our topic.
Sure, most definitely. So I'm Sierra Rubin, as you mentioned, and I am pretty new to linear time speaking, to the spiritual community. I had my, what I would consider my main or my first awakening just a little over a year and a half ago. Before that, I was, you know, kind of part of the more general majority, doing, quote, normal things, and then experienced this amazing awakening after my first trip to a psychic fair, February of 2015. And since then, just dove headfirst into everything spiritual and started developing my intuition and my intuitive abilities, started receiving initiations and all of these amazing experiences, and now have come into this realm of feeling really driven and motivated and excited to live my purpose and to be a messenger. I'm a Gemini sun sign, and my Mercury, which is the planet of communication, is also in Gemini. So I do feel called to be a messenger to whatever needs to come through me from the beings that are, with us on the other side of the veil, whether those be angels, ascended masters, dearly departed loved ones, or, goddesses, or, of course, extraterrestrials as well. So now I have my own business as an intuitive, and I started my own online school of magic to teach my community about all of the things that I have learned, and just diving deeper and deeper into this galactic awareness. So that's kind of where I'm at right now.
That's awesome. And I love when we started talking about this topic, you were discussing how you wanted to, how there's so much taboo with it, and you wanted to bring more love and less fear to the topic of extraterrestrials. And I totally resonate with that and agree with that, that we need to bring more love and curiosity instead of fear and, like, rejection, I think.
Right. Well, I think, we totally are together on that. And I think there is that the fear behind it and the fear involved with it is multifaceted. You know, of course, you have the general population who either don't believe in extraterrestrials or, you know, what we're shown in the media, in movies. You know, you do have your movies like E.T. or different movies like that that show benevolent, loving beings, but the majority of movies with extraterrestrial subject matter are would probably could be considered in at least the sci-fi, if not the horror genre.
Right.
And so that definitely puts a lot of fear into our collective consciousness about the idea of extraterrestrials. And then when you get into the extraterrestrial community, that community is a beautiful community, and it also does have a lot of bent and or perspective in the conspiracy realm, you know, and that can carry a lot of fear energy with it as well. You know, and what I would say about that, are all ETs bad? Are all ETs good? I would say neither. You know, are all humans bad or are all humans good? You know, no.
Right.
So, you know, and then what is good and bad anyway? Is bad just the darkness that helps us further embrace our light? So it's really all a matter of perspective. And I think that that as more and more people can come forward with an integrated perspective and seeing that, yeah, there, you know, there could be and there are malevolent extraterrestrials, but there also are benevolent extraterrestrials, and they are so helpful and so unconditionally loving. And the truth of the matter is, Misty, if there was an alien civilization that wanted us to be destroyed, we wouldn't be here because they're so highly advanced in their technologies and their traveling and their frequency that if they didn't want us to exist, we wouldn't. It's just that simple.
Exactly. I totally agree. And a lot of things are, there's just so much about our universe alone that we don't know and we can't see. I mean, just 2 months ago, I think NASA put out a report that they found 188 new galaxies just behind one of our planets that we've never seen before. So there's like all these
wow.
new things coming to light and new galaxies are being found. So there, in my mind, I'm like, there's absolutely no way that we can be the only intelligent life force in our galaxy, let alone 188 others.
It almost feels arrogant, doesn't it?
Yeah.
To think of it that way.
Exactly.
Yeah, and for me, it's like, you know, contact and disclosure as far as these subjects, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
Yes.
And I do hold hope and believe that it's possible in our lifetime.
Yeah, and I did want to ask you, you said you had some stories to talk about with ET consciousness. Is it like personal stories or?
Sure, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'd love to hear from you like a personal story of, have you ever had contact with an extraterrestrial?
I have had much contact in the way of visions, you know, or so I'll have contact during a meditation, you know, so a mm-hmm. lot of astral contact. Only one physical experience, and it was very quick and very limited, so I'm happy to speak about that. But maybe I'll begin kind of why and how all of this came into my awareness. I really, like I said, came into this very recently. Linear time speaking, and I say that because I know I've done this kind of thing in many other lifetimes, but so I was working with angels and doing a little bit of mediumship and doing energy work. I'm an energy healer and was going along my journey and was starting to recognize that we in our solar system have crossed the galactic equator, so to speak, and there's some big solar energy going on coming from our sun, some big gamma radiation coming from our sun that is waving through and wafting through, pulsating through, really, I should say, our Milky Way galaxy, and is enabling some of this awakening, and I really started to recognize that I really had to make a choice whether I was going to choose fear consciousness or love consciousness, or at least a journeying towards that love and unity consciousness. That there was a matter of timelines splitting off and parallel realities becoming less and less parallel and more kind of just opposite one another. And so when I consciously decided, okay, I choose love and I choose this unity consciousness, and so I want to see how far down the rabbit hole goes, so to speak, right? Okay, I know
right.
I'm seeing angels and having all these experiences, but is this it? Is this as far as it goes? And that was when I am a very avid dreamer. I'm a pretty experienced lucid dreamer. And so I dream vividly every night, very detailed and lucidly, which is when, you know, lucid dreaming is basically when you know you're dreaming, you're able to make decisions in the dream and control the outcome within the dream. And so I have discovered that when I have a dream that takes place where I fell asleep and not in my normal dreamscape, because, you know, when you're dreaming, you go into this dreamscape, right? Like the normal landscape, like some other place, right? Not where you fell asleep. So the dreams that I will have when I am still where I fell asleep, I know that they're not really dreams, or that there's something different about them, that I'm more conscious, but I'm still in that state of no resistance or no fear. And so the first thing that happened was I was in a dream state like that. I'd fallen asleep on the couch and I was dreaming, but I was where I had fallen asleep. And all of a sudden this huge beam of light came from the ceiling and it hit me right in the chest and solar plexus area. It was a big beam of light, so it covered that much area on my body, and the light was just very aggressively pulsating through my body, and I was like convulsing, and I right after it happened, I felt kind of fried, like maybe I stuck my finger in an electrical socket, like a giant one, maybe.
Wow.
And I just felt really, really fried, and there's no other way to describe it. And then I could feel myself levitating, and I remember even having the thought in the dream, am I levitating? Oh my gosh, like, am I doing this? But it just happened. Like, my body was levitated to the ceiling, and on the ceiling was this silver pool of light, and I was lifted into that pool. And in the pool, I just felt healing, and I could hear whispers all around me, and I heard one whisper that said Christ light, and that was just very striking to me that I was hearing that. And so then I came down from the pool. It was almost like I was being healed, like something very profound had happened to me, but it kind of had fried my physical body so that they were taking me and healing me. Somebody was taking me.
Yeah, I got chills all over my body just listening to that. That's amazing.
Really?
Yeah.
Definitely an interesting experience. And directly after that was when I started to things just started to pop up on the internet that were related to extraterrestrials. I would start to see different things if there was a commercial or an advertisement that had an alien in it, then I would notice that. And then I would find articles on the internet, and then videos would pop up for me to watch. And so that was like, okay, that you wanted to know how deep the rabbit hole went. Well, here you go. Here's the next. And it was interesting, you know, why is that the next level? It's like, it does kind of feel like that galactic level takes everything a little bit deeper. And so that is what began my journey into the extraterrestrial consciousness. And then all of my other experiences have been in dreams or when I was in Egypt. I just recently returned from a 10-day pilgrimage spiritual pilgrimage in Egypt, which was amazing. You know, we were actually going with a spiritual purpose.
I was going to say, yes, it looked amazing. I was going to ask you about that because it looked amazing. Going to Egypt, any time going to Egypt would be amazing.
Yes, definitely. I mean, just, you know, the energy there is so powerful and so potent and so palpable. You can really just feel it, like it's all still there. Because as you know, time is just something that we kind of agree upon. It's some, you know, in the higher dimensions, it doesn't exist. So, you know, there, it still exists as it did in the fifth dimension. So when you go there, you can really feel it. You can really, like, I was hearing, I am primarily more so clairsentient, claircognizant, and clairvoyant. My clairaudience is really just still developing. But when I went there, I was hearing voices everywhere. I was just, you know, feeling things and seeing things. I mean, the energy there is so powerful. The vortex that is there is definitely active. So that was my first experience with what I call the White Watchers. And
White Watchers.
From watching, the White Watchers,
I'm writing that down because I've never heard that before, and I like that name. So that's just kind of a name that you've given them, correct?
Yeah, it's just, well, they call themselves the Watchers, and I call them the White Watchers because they're white.
Nice.
It was very, very simple.
So if somebody has maybe felt like they were being watched at some point by multiple beings, is that from the Watchers? Can you feel them? Can certain people feel them watching?
Yeah, that's really interesting that you mentioned that, and that you mentioned, you know, feeling like someone's watching you, because I've always felt like someone was watching me for like my whole life. But then, you know, and then when I started to get into the spiritual realm, I had a lot of fear around it, you know, thinking like what kind of entities are watching me. I hope they're not dark entities. You know, I would perceive different beings and they would maybe look kind of scary, you know, like humans, but scary, or maybe they'd look kind of creature-like and be very frightening. But this first experience in Egypt with these White Watchers, first and foremost, it was as I was waking up one morning, I could, you know, my dream ended and I was in black space, and then this white being appeared in my mind's eye right as I was waking up. So it was tall, very thin, all white, like bright white. And he didn't have any indication of gender other than, I'm saying he, because he had a male energy about him. But his head was elongated and kind of bulbous at the top. He was very kind of just very etheric looking, and very majestic energy. And his eyes were quite a bit larger than human eyes. Like his head was kind of bulbous at the top, kind of bulging out where the brains would be, but you know, just all white, very smooth skin, really no nose, but like holes there, very small mouth. Large black, large to me, but on his, how big his head was, kind of beady glassy black eyes. And he just stood there and looked at me, and I woke up and I was like, what the heck was that? After watching so many videos and learning about all these different extraterrestrial races, that was not one that I had ever read about or seen. And so later that day we were in a group meditation, and I started to see in my mind's eye, I started to see tons of these beings surrounding us in the circle. And that was the moment when I kind of like was jarred out of the meditation a little bit, but I was, you know, still seeing them. And I was saying, kind of just in my mind, telepathically, I was saying, what are you guys doing here? You know, who are you? And they said, we are the Watchers. And I said, what are you doing? And they said, well, we're watching you. And I was like, okay, thank you. Like, obviously, like, you ask this simple question, you're going to get a simple answer, I guess.
Right.
So obviously you're watching me. And so then I said, well, why are you watching? Why are you watching us? And it wasn't even one of, I don't know if it was one of them or if it was the collective that was communicating with me telepathically. But when I said, you know, why are you watching us? They said, this is what we do. We watch. And they kind of, you know, just kind of downloaded some information. So basically he was saying, you know, this is what their species does. That's what their species performs that function for the Galactic Council and just in the universe in general. They're very quiet, observatory type beings. So their function is to go to different civilizations and just watch and record mm-hmm. the information and broadcast that information for the council, for other civilizations who are attuned to the frequency, is how I could understand it. So basically they are just beings who observe. And
I have to tell you, I love the fact that you say broadcast it to the Galactic Council, because the reason that I asked you before was, would someone, if they didn't know what it was, would they feel like they were being watched, like there was somebody watching them from a distance? Because I had that experience when I was younger many times, and I always describe it to someone, it was almost like someone was watching me and broadcasting my life, almost like a soap opera to someone. So I find it really interesting you use those words.
yeah. Well, we're very interesting to a lot of beings, apparently. And it's interesting that you say that, too, because then when I got home from Egypt, I started to see them on my property. And I was like, okay, so you guys followed me home. And they were kind of like, and then I went into a meditation one day, and I, during the meditation, I actually left my body and went into the field behind my house, which is where they were, and was over there communicating with them. And what they basically told me was that they had always been watching me. It's just that now that I don't have so much fear, I'm able to perceive them as they are instead of perceiving them through the lens of fear or through a lens of thinking, oh, it's a dead person or, oh, it's something really creepy. I'm able to actually perceive them for the truth of what they are instead of something that I'm afraid of. So it's not that they just followed me home. It's that they've always been watching, and I just know that it's them now.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point, too, because we do see a lot of these things, and based on our culture and our beliefs and the way that we were raised or the stories we were told, we just automatically assume that these are, you know, what we've always been told they were. Who's to say that they're not an extraterrestrial? You know what I mean? That's mm-hmm. amazing.
Yeah, so that was really interesting.
Now, somebody did ask in the chat room about the economy, like over in Egypt. Was it scary while you were there? Did it seem safe? How was the economy and everything while you were over there?
Yeah, well, the economy, it's actually really sad, because I think, you know, there definitely is this perception, you know, since their revolution and everything that was going on there, that it's just people dropping bombs across the street. And it's definitely not like that. I mean, I obviously it's culturally very, very different from any Western culture. But it's actually very peaceful there. I felt very, very at peace there. I felt very grounded there. The people there are very loving. And the saddest thing was that there were no tourists. There were barely any tourists. We were definitely the only group of tourists there. It was mm-hmm. very sparse. All of the tourist areas, all of the temples, they were not very crowded.
Wow.
And one of their main industries there is tourism. So everyone go to Egypt, because it's really sad, you know. I'll be honest, they're a little hungry. You know, they're a little pushy with trying to make sales and trying to get you to buy things there. But it's understandable, you know. It's been really tough for them, and they're trying to keep hope. And it's not like it is over here. You know, they do really live for a living.
Right.
They don't get into, for the most part, they don't get into their cars and go to work or or even have a finished house or a house with a floor or things like that. So
definitely, yeah. Well, thank you for that, because I was curious about that as well. So I kind of want to go back to your experiences in Egypt. Did you have anything else besides the White Watchers? Because I really do love that name, actually. I wrote it down. I'm like, the White Watchers, it's the greatest thing ever. I love that story. Do you have anything, any other experiences from there?
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of another extraterrestrial experience that would be recognizable as an extraterrestrial experience. I mean, the truth is, at least my truth is that, you know, these ancient Egyptian gods and goddesses, beings who were depicted as larger than life, these beings, you know, these lion-headed beings and different things, you know, to me, these were not just people or energies that, you know, had a lion type energy that then they decided to put the lion on their head as symbolically. To me, specifically, the lion being that I'm speaking of, Sekhmet, their god, their goddess Sekhmet, who's the goddess of creation and destruction, to me was an actual physical lion being that, you know, existed in that time, was able to come through the energetic portal and be there physically. You know, Horus, the falcon-headed god, was, you know, to me, was an actual bird being. You know, so I did. So I'll talk about my experience in Sekhmet's cave. So Sekhmet, as I said, is the lion goddess of creation and destruction, and I have always had a really strong connection with cats. My whole life, I've always had a cat in my life. I have this really deep love and mutual respect and understanding for cats, and like just also everything that I'm interested in with the intuitive vibrations and the singing, like it just goes very deep for me. And, you know, I have knowledge and awareness that I was part of the cat tribe in the Lemurian times. You know, so in Lemuria, we had all different totems, all different, it was very nature spiritual, very, very nature centric. You know, so many different tribes would have an animal totem that they really revered and respected and worshipped, so to speak. And so I know that I was part of the cat tribe in Lemuria. And then those of us who were in that tribe then went and incarnated in Egypt so that we could meet in this portal that was opening, that these cat beings were coming through. And so I have had visions of myself as a priestess in ancient Egypt, where I am, you know, grooming and loving on all these cats and all these things. And so it was the last day, actually, it was after we had the resurrection ritual in the king's chamber of the Great Pyramid. It was the day after that, or I think it's 2 days after that. But we were going through this temple that we had actually been there on the first day. We were going through again for our closing ceremonies, and little did we know, our retreat leader had a surprise in store for us. And it's very interesting because in all of the temples in Egypt, pretty much all of the statues have been removed. Obviously, the giant ones are still there. But all of, like, the life-sized or small, a lot of the statues have been removed and put into museums for understandable reasons with the kind of foot traffic that they normally see in those temples. But the benefit of being with our retreat leader, he had been to Egypt on this type of retreat for at least 10 years, and so he knew very well, the guards knew him, and he knew them, and some of them would actually allow us to go into places that were actually locked up, that they weren't allowing the public to go. So that was very special. And so on this day, we went and we were walking around in the temple, and he was showing us a few other things that he hadn't shown us on the first time that we'd gone there. And we get to this little area, and there was a barricade. The guard comes from around the corner, opens the barricade. We move into this kind of courtyard area, and then there was a big door with a big lock on it, and he hands our retreat leader the key to this door, and he opens the door, and it leads us into this antechamber, and then off of the antechamber was this small cave-like room. It was very dark in there. There was only one, like, little skylight, little opening cut out in the ceiling. You know, stone walls, hieroglyphics all over the walls as usual, but in the room was a completely intact, completely untouched, perfect life-size statue of Sekhmet, the lion goddess. And it's just, like I said, we've been traveling through Egypt for 10 days, and, you know, there's nothing like this anywhere in these temples, something that is completely pristine, completely untouched in that way,
yeah.
You know, with the statue being right where it was for thousands and thousands of years. And so the energy in that room was just off the charts. Like, you know, my hand started to shake a little bit. The vibes in there were really, really strong. And of course, that goddess has such a powerful energy too. So, you know, that added even more to that. And, we were actually able to do a ritual in that room, which basically, you know, we just put some frankincense oils on ourselves. We anointed with oils and joined hands and began to very softly chant some ohms and things like that. And I got very emotional. It was just overwhelming. And, you know, seeing her, it was a black granite statue that was, you know, if a lion was standing on its hind legs, like, that's how tall it is, and it's just beautiful and perfect, and the energy, and we're chanting, and I'm crying, and then I start to hear this voice in my head, and her voice, it was a female voice, and I knew it was her, and she started saying all these really nice things, and it was just very overwhelming. Like, I even get a little emotional thinking about it now, like, and she started giving me all these visions of actually grooming her and talking to her. You know, I could feel and, like, smell her fur. I mean, it was just very, very visceral, very physical experience that I started to have. And she was just saying that she was so happy that I had come back and that I had come home, and was telling me, you know, remember who you are. And then she said one thing that really caused a lot of resistance in me at first. And she called me sister. And that was really a little too much for me because, you know, seeing her as this exalted being, this being that I had worshipped as a priestess, this being that I was just so enamored with, for her to call me sister, I just didn't really feel worthy of that.
Right.
And that was just, I didn't know how to handle that. And so she referred to me as sister, and I kind of said telepathically, I said, no, you know, I'm not worthy of that. And she said, no, but you are. And then she said something really profound. And what she said was, you are anointed and you are chosen because you choose. And that is really powerful. And what I took from that to mean is, number one, she called me sister because she's telling me and telling me to tell others that it's time for us to no longer look at beings like that and extraterrestrials as being above us, as being gods or goddesses above us, but to see ourselves the way that they see us and the way that we see them, to no longer put them on this pedestal, that we truly are multidimensional and their brothers and sisters, not their worshipers.
Yes.
And
I totally
secondly,
agree. Yeah.
And then secondly, the part about, you know, you are anointed and you are chosen because you choose. It was really speaking to something that I'm really passionate about, which is this separation, this idea that, you know, intuitive abilities or galactic consciousness or certain magics are only available to a special few is an old paradigm view, in my opinion. You know, I am very passionate about the idea and the truth that all magics and all abilities, all telepathy, all intuitive ability is something that is available to anyone and everyone who desires it. Anyone can master these abilities. Anyone can be chosen if they continue to choose to fall in love with their truth.
Yes, I love that. Absolutely. If you don't make that choice, then, you know, that's you're deciding not to follow that path. You know what I mean? When you decide to make the choice of I'm going to follow this path, it unfolds in front of you.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, as we choose again and again, life's incarnation through incarnation, as we continue to choose to expand, we continue to choose to explore these topics that we're passionate about. You know, not everybody has to be a spiritual teacher. That's not everyone's purpose. That's not something that everyone is going to be passionate about. But so long as we continue to choose to fall in love with our own truth and follow our own highest excitement, we will continue to be chosen by, you know, by the divine, by the forces of love, and to continue to expand and evolve, you know, and ascend.
Yes, I totally agree. I do. And someone, before we get too further in, because we're about halfway, I just wanted to give everybody your website information so people can get a hold of you. I have your website is SierraRubin, like your name, .com. And there is a new school that you're working on right now called Claire Love, correct?
Yeah. It's a new online school. I'm going to be, you know, walking my talk. If I say these abilities are available for everyone, I'm ready and excited to teach them everything that I know.
Yeah. So that's awesome, because this is perfect timing for that. And if you are interested in connecting with Sierra, you can go to her website, which is sierrarubin.com. And if you're interested in signing up for the School of Claire Love, it is bit.ly/ClaireLoveList. Correct?
Mm-hmm, yep. CLAIRLOV list. Yeah, Claire is in clairvoyant.
Okay, great. So, and I just wanted to put that out there. And what is your Periscope handle? Just so I can let people know that one too.
Yeah. My Periscope handle. I love Periscope. I just feel like so resonant with Periscope because I'm so about raw authenticity and how much more authentic can you get than live video. So it's just at Sierra Rubin, at CIARARUBIN on Periscope.
Okay, great. So just so everybody has that information, and I didn't want to get too far into the show and then not hand that out.
I really appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome. So let me just get to my notes here, but I know that you had said that it's not a matter of if we will make contact, but when we will make contact. So does that mean that you truly believe that we have the ability to make contact now in this lifetime, do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. People already are. It's just, you know, as a matter, it's happening in small pockets. It's happening on the individual basis right now. As far as I'm assuming that you're talking about like mass contact, like the collective understanding and knowing, like ships flying around, that kind of thing. Is that what you mean?
Yes. And I guess, you know, because there are some individual people making contact, but there are still people out there who are, you know, unsure of, will I be able to make contact, or is it possible for me? So But it is happening. You're correct that people are making contact right now. But it's, I kind of want to touch on the fact that it's not just because they're special that really anybody
right.
can make contact. And that
yeah.
is it like something that they need to be doing, or is it just not their time? What do you think is the issue of certain people not making contact yet?
You mean like certain people who want to but aren't?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's it could be for a number of different reasons. It could be because they could want it really bad and think that they want that and think that the idea is really amazing. But then, you know, if there was actually a physical extraterrestrial standing in front of them, they might lose their minds and freak out. You know, because you don't really know what that's going to, you know, even me, you know, my first and only physical contact experience was a little terrifying.
Right.
Just because we are so, we're just not conditioned. We just don't, we emotionally can't even understand, can't comprehend something like that happening. It wouldn't just be like your aunt or your uncle walking in the room. You know, it would just be completely, yeah, I would just be out of this world, literally and figuratively. So it could be that. It could be unconscious fear that they need to kind of continue to do their inner work and choose love and you know, look at the things within their life that are causing them to act out of their shadow or act out of their fear aspect and kind of heal mm-hmm. those things within themselves. So it could be that. And also, I have heard from some that sometimes when we don't have the contact, it's because we're right on track. That sometimes the contact happens to kind of jar us and kind of yes. say, hey, you know, wake up. And,
yes.
You know, if we're not quite as far along on our journey as we need to be, but then if we are, if we're going along just the way we're supposed to, it just hasn't happened yet, just because you're on the right track and it's going to happen. It's just, you know, there's divine timing and you know, as far as the collective aspect of it, there's definitely a lot more light working that we light workers need to do and continuing to walk our talk and shine our light and helping other people to see that they can do the same so that our collective consciousness tips over enough into the side of love to where collectively we could handle physical contact.
Yeah. Yes, I absolutely agree with you. And people on Periscope are agreeing too. Totally agree
oh.
with you. and I think in my mind, it's more of a vibrational thing that, in my opinion, a lot of extraterrestrials are on a higher vibration. And that's kind of what we're doing on Earth right now is raising the vibration of the collective conscious in our reality. And as that happens on more of a wider band throughout the earth, then more and more people will start to have these experiences and then it will become more of a unified thing once we are on that vibrational frequency.
Absolutely. I absolutely agree with you. And also too, you know, there are just some types of beings that would be so foreign to us that it is a little frightening for us at this point. Like for example, Pleiadians, that, you know, that energy is so, like, even when I just said the word, like, my energy changed, mm-hmm. like that heart energy, and it's so loving and they look human and but then for example, you go to the reptilian or the Zeta energy, and, you know, the Zetas, they genetically modified themselves so much that they atrophied their emotional body. So they actually have no emotional body. And we as human beings, we as mammals, connect with one another emotionally first and foremost. And that's
right.
so important for us to be able to get in each other's emotional bodies. That when a lot of people have these experiences with these Zetas or Greys, it's terrifying. Mm-hmm. Because they seem very cold and
yes.
So.
Yeah. And I don't know if you've ever heard of Dolores Cannon. Have you done any information on her? She is a past life regressionist. Yeah, she does past life regression is actually her trade or her, you know, genre or niche in the beginning. And as she started to do more and more past life regressions, she started running into people's past lives as extraterrestrials on other planets. And I find that very interesting with the thought of, is it possible to be, you know, have been on another planet as an extraterrestrial in a past life? That's something that is new to me and I find very interesting and exciting, actually. There apparently are other people that have been regressed back to lifetimes on other planets as the Greys or as Palladian or and things like that. It's actually really fascinating.
Yeah, that is really interesting. And I love that idea, too. I know for me personally, I have very strong Earth connections. You know, when I see my higher self, it certainly doesn't look human, but I really have no recollection of where I'm from. I believe that we actually incarnate through several star systems, you know, that actually happens to, you know, our oversoul. So we are a facet of that oversoul. We could have other facets of the oversoul because you know, what is past life really? It's a parallel incarnation of our oversoul, right? Because there's no such thing as time. It's just we perceive it as a past life. So there could definitely be parallel lives on other planets, most definitely. Also, there is Barbara Lamb, it's interesting that you brought up the, you know, the past life regressionist. Because I have done a lot of research on Barbara Lamb, who is also a past life regressionist, but she specifically specializes in abduction memories. So when she does this regression on people, she can actually take them to the memories of their abduction experiences, which is really fascinating.
That is
so I definitely
fascinating.
Want to go see her and see if I have any.
Yes, that is fascinating because I actually have memories of and I'm not quite to the point where I have done a past life regression yet, but I have memories of being a child and being, I can't explain where I was, but I was coloring in the flower of life, like a coloring book, but it was a print of the flower of life, and I'm pretty sure that I was not here. I don't know where I was, but I was coloring it in, and it's like a repeat memory. So that is fascinating.
Wow.
I wrote her name down because I want to look into that. Because and the whole abduction thing is pretty fascinating because they put like an overlay memory. So a lot of people will have a memory of something pretty insignificant, and when they go back to that insignificant memory, then they'll realize that this is just kind of like a veil or an overlay to kind of mask what actually happened, and that's pretty fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the hybridization program that they're doing, you know, that's the whole reason, not the whole reason, but a big reason why they have been abducting us.
Yes, too. You mean like genetic modification kind of thing?
Like mixing our DNA with theirs and creating a hybrid races?
Yes, yes. I actually just read a book on that. It's called Bloodline of the Gods, where that actually goes back way further into our past, stating that extraterrestrials have been visiting for quite some time, and the disconnection between the Neanderthal man and the Homo sapien is actually due to the extraterrestrials and their genetic modification with us. So Yeah, so I find that fascinating too. It is definitely a rabbit hole that goes really really far.
Yeah, so I love it. I just get so excited.
Yeah, and when you talk about Atlantis, that is in the book that I was reading recently. It's called Bloodline of the Gods, and I actually can't remember the name of the author right now. But they talk about how in Atlantis. That they were an extraterrestrial species or race that came here. And that's kind of where they started. But there was also, you know, like the giants that are actually in the Bible. When the Bible talks about the giants or the Nephilim, those were considered to be an ancient alien race. So there's all kinds of stuff that ties into our history. And then Egypt has so many gods and goddesses that, you know, had the bodies of animals and the heads of humans or vice versa. So that's another thing that was in the book as well, talking about genetics and aliens being here on Earth. So it's fascinating.
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of part of the reason why we were selected for the hybridization program, and why we are kind of special. We are a little bit special amongst our galactic family because our DNA is special. That is what is special about us and about our planet, is that because we have been so hybridized by so many different races from so many different dimensions, our DNA is actually multidimensional and so diverse. So, I mean, you look at the life on our planet, the diversity of it. You know, you have planets that have entire, you know, planets full of insectoid beings, or an entire planet of bird beings, you know, but our planet is so diverse and so rich, the DNA here. And so that is a big reason why we were selected for that program, and a big reason why so many different races are so interested in what's going on down here.
Yeah, and I think some are, when you talk about the love and fear aspect, some are interested and have ulterior motives, but then some are also trying to help to raise the vibration, you know, to bring the human race up to that level of consciousness. And then some, I think, you know, that's kind of where the conspiracy theories come in, are more interested in using or becoming more and all powerful over the human race. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely, you know, this is, we are still in that realm of duality, and that, you know, where there is light, there is darkness for the time being. And the interesting part of that, too, and it seems so simple and so storybook, but the more that we, you know, we can acknowledge that as a choice, you know, the conspiracy part and the fear and the, you know, Illuminati and the evil reptilians and all that, though there are also loving and benevolent, very wise reptilians.
Yeah.
But, you know, the more we choose to love and the more we move away from fear, the less and less we will attract experiences with beings like that, the less and less power it gives them, the less awareness and focus and fear that we put into that part of it, the less power they have.
Yes, and I love that you touched on that, because I think that is a big part of our consciousness right now, is the, you know, the fear and the conspiracy theories. But I totally agree with the fact of, once you focus on the love and you match that vibration of love, and that is going to attract those types of experiences, just like you said, instead of the fear and the conspiracy theories, because the more you focus on those, the more that you're attracting those to yourself.
Right. Definitely. And, you know, I mean, the bottom line is we need to wake up. It's time for humanity to wake up and to step into who and what we really are. And if, you know, we still live in this place of duality, and if conspiracies is something that begins someone's journey into that awakening, so be it. It could be a beautiful thing that, you know, yes, they go into it because of the fear aspect, because of the conspiracy theory aspect. But it wakes them up, and then they are at that point open enough to consider the love aspect and the journey towards self-love and unconditional love. So,
yes,
you know, it's
totally
a good thing too.
Totally agree. Before we get, because we have about 5 more minutes, but I just wanted to ask you, the retreat that you went to Egypt, is there information on how somebody can sign up for that retreat?
Yeah. So the retreat leader, his name is Stuart Pearce, S-T-E-W-A-R-T-P-E-A-R-C-E. And I think that the website, if you just Google his name, the website that will come up that will have the information about this retreat is Angels of Atlantis. I'm not sure what the dot is, but I just know if you Google his name, Stuart Pierce, that the Angels of Atlantis website will come up, and then it's under the retreat tab. And he goes on this, the retreat that I went on was the Resurrection Retreat. And so he does that every year. And then I think he's also going to be doing another retreat, Egypt retreat during the year. So it's an amazing experience. I would recommend it to anyone. His breadth and wealth of knowledge is amazing. He's extremely articulate, and anyone who goes will completely enjoy. It's such a magical experience.
Awesome. I put all that information in the chat room, and I'll put it on the Facebook page too, because a couple people were asking and interested in what kind of retreat it was, because it sounds amazing.
Yeah, definitely. I can't believe it's already almost over. This has gone so fast.
I know. We definitely will have to catch up again so we can talk more on this topic, because there's just so much to talk about. It's just a plethora of information.
I know. It's like I brought up the hybrid program, and I was like, oh my gosh, you know, we didn't even get to talk about that. We'll have to talk about that next time. It's so multifaceted. It's so awesome.
Yeah. So I think that mainly the reason that, and I'm speaking for myself, but I hope that you agree with me, Sierra, is the main reason that we wanted to do a podcast about this is because it is a lot of taboo, and people are afraid to talk about it. They're afraid to say, you know, I believe in this, or I've had this experience, because they're afraid of what people will think. And just know that it's actually becoming more, people are becoming more aware every day, and people are waking up every day. So this is going to become less and less taboo as time goes on, as the days go on and the years go on. But you're not alone, that people experience this every day, and we're not crazy. You're not crazy.
No.
It's totally a normal experience for humans in general. I mean, more than not, people are having these experiences, but people keep them quiet. Would you agree?
Oh, yes. Interestingly enough, based on my research and personal experience, about 48% of the population has been abducted.
Mm-hmm.
That's half. That is half of the world population. So that is huge. Thank you for saying that, and I really appreciate that. For some reason, I feel a little fearless about coming, a little bit of fear, a little bit of reservation about coming fully out with it, but there's also a little bit of fearlessness and a little bit of kind of that indigo energy, that kind of, you know, this is part of my mission, and I'm not going to back down from it. So, I am definitely really, really, I mean, the first moment that I mentioned, I need to be coming out of the closet with my passion for extraterrestrial consciousness, and then you were like, you want to come on my podcast? And I was like, okay, so, you know, clearly I'm being rewarded by the universe and being shown that this is a direction that I am to head in, and if that's divinely guided, I am just filled with gratitude to be able to accept that and answer that calling.
That's awesome. I think we have about 30 seconds left or 60 seconds left. So I just wanted to thank you again so much for joining me. It's actually been really enlightening and fun to talk about this topic with you. And I hope that you'll join me again in the future so we can talk more about it. And I hope you have a beautiful night. And thank you so much again for sharing your experience and your stories with us. I'm sure that everyone listening has been really enlightened as well, because it's been really exciting. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. And thank you so much to everyone who's listening and everyone who's listening to the recording.
Yes. Thank you so much, you guys. So I'm going to sign off with Sierra, and I will talk to everyone else. In 2 weeks, we're going to be talking with actually Sarah Exley, Conscious Parenting. So she's going to be on in 2 weeks, and we're going to talk about all kinds of amazing things with her. So I hope you all can join me then, and have a beautiful night, everyone. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye, Sierra. Thank you.